Well, that matches.
That's y'all, come on. That's right.
African way this morning, but I don't see Evelyn, who is our senior person here. So is there anybody else who would like to volunteer to give me permission to proceed? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. I shall proceed. I shall proceed. Our grandmothers, our great, 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 great grandmamas, and our granddaddies, our great, 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 great granddaddies were always molding us and holding us together. Am I right? I need you to talk to me this morning because I don't want to feel like I'm talking to myself, okay? I can't do it today. They were always building us up and giving us permission to go ahead and be who we were becoming. I remember my first knowledge of how a village actually worked. This is how I learned. I hope I can come out here. I just want to talk. Thank you. My mother was an organist, and she was a pianist, and she was the choir director, And she was a mama to everybody. They didn't have no mama. And when little girls, because our church was located in the projects in downtown, near downtown Detroit, but it was called the project. They call it the Homes, and now it's called the Brewster Projects, but now it's called the Brewster Homes. You know, they tried to, you know, bring it up a little bit. All right, but these little girls and little boys used to come, and people used to laugh at these little kids and say, oh, they poor. But my mother, she believed in a village. My mother had a little dresser drawer over in the corner in the choir room. Yes. You know what she had in there? Some sulfur, eh?
Well.
And some bergamot.
Yes.
And some Vaseline. Yes. And some rubber bands.
Yes.
And some barrettes.
Yes.
And some ribbons. And she would part the hair of those little girls. And those little girls would come out feeling like little ballerinas. They would come out and they would be proud of themselves. My mother made them look like everybody else. And that's what we need to do. We need to be a village looking out for each other at all times and in all places. Amen. In 2016, I was asked by Reverend Brother Britt Hall to head up the women's ministry here at Unity of New York. Now, what did that mean? I think it was Zoe. I think you called me and said, Britt would like for you to. And I'm like, huh? What did that? But I was learning, I was still learning how to say yes. Are you learning how to say yes?
Yes.
We need to learn how to say yes a little bit more, especially if you know it's on your divine path and you've been praying for it your whole life. It ain't time to stop now. It's time to say yes. Let's practice. Come on.
Yes.
I can't hear you. Come on.
Yes.
One more time. Say it.
Yes.
All right. So I said yes. Now, what was I saying yes to? I don't know what I was saying yes to, but it felt like it was on my divine path. And so I asked some women to join me. I don't even remember where the first meeting was. But we made crowns for our heads. We had conversations. We had cookies. We met at restaurants. We sat on the ground in Central Park. What else did we do? I got a little list over here. We served food at shelters, and we collected coats along with the police department and the fire department. And we partnered with other great organizations to collect books and toys and games and gifts and clothes for special needs community, young and old. Isn't that something to be proud of?
Yes.
We collected sanitary napkins and men for women in domestic violence. And I don't know if you know anything about domestic violence, but when you're on the run, you don't have time to grab your personal items. You know, I did something yesterday with a domestic violence organization. Sometimes they go with the police in the middle of the night to rescue these women. This is a village. They rescue these women and they say, honey, you can't get everything. Just get your license and get your wallet and get your kids and let's go.
Yes.
To safety. That is what a village is all about. We did prom dresses and suits and afternoon tea parties, remember right over there? And we, and Carmen, you let that one off. And also, did you hear about that Easter celebration that we had when we had only 2 bottles of wine? And those 2 bottles of wine lasted the whole time. I was like, oh God, we need more wine. The wine never ran out. It felt like a miracle. We was just drinking wine the whole time. I was like, where is it? These bottles don't have no bottom to it. And those of you who were there, I'm not joking. It really happened. People kept bringing food and we kept drinking wine. We had 2 bottles of wine. You see how good God is. God is good. And so, okay. Now, I want to say, before I go further, that the support that all of you who are watching us and of all of you who are here today have given our ministry, it means so much to us. Have you seen the hats and the gloves? Or did you see the mountain that is building? Do you see my vision being materialized? Do you see what we have done as a village? And we're going to keep on doing things like this that allow us to show who we really are. Okay, we gotta start showing up as ourselves, y'all. We can't be latching on to all this and that and this and that and this and that. You gotta walk in your own divine path, because otherwise, if you don't, you're not gonna get there. I'm gonna take a sideline and tell you a little quick story. There was this woman who lived in my building, and she was always being like a big sister to me. And she was always saying, oh, Gail, you know, like, girl, learn how to play the keyboard a little bit, so when you're doing your poetry, at least you can tell the dudes what you want. If you want a bass, or if you want some piano, you can't go in there and, like, not know nothing. You can't be stupid, in other words, and go, I would like to have you play, okay? She made me be really, really serious about my work, and she was a musician herself, raising her child, doing her thing, teaching school. Anyway, she retired, all right? She retired, and here come word that Alicia Keys is on Broadway doing Hell's Kitchen. And they said, well, Alicia, whose role, who should play this role? She said, I don't know, it's gotta be somebody who was like my teacher, Miss Aziza. And they said, well, where's Miss Aziza? So she's retired. She said, you better go find her. She went and found Miss Aziza. And guess what? She's on Broadway. Miss Aziza is doing Hell's Kitchen on Broadway, playing the role of herself. So guess what? It ain't never too late to be great. Like, don't delay what you came to do. You know what you came to do. You know the gifts you have. Because don't nobody else have that same gift. It might look like your gift, but it's not your gift. They might sing the same song, but they don't sing it the way you sing it. They might dance, but they don't dance the way you dance. They may make the chocolate cake, but they can't make that chocolate cake with that special ingredients in it like you can. You know what I'm talking about? Do what you came to do. All right. The world we live in today, I'm just going to get right to the point this morning. It's been difficult for a lot of us for these last few months. But I want to tell you something. No matter how much discouragement you may have, no matter how much disappointment you may have, no matter how much dissatisfaction you may have, 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, as was read earlier, I'm going to read the King James Version now. God did not give you a spirit of fear. Did you hear me? You can't be walking around. This is not the time to be scared. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. You got to walk in your power. You got to walk in a room and you got to own it. You got to pick your head up off the sidewalk. Stop all of this. What is all that? Come on, stop all this mumbling and this grumbling and acting like we lost something. We ain't lost nothing. We're still winners. We are winners. We are winners. We are winners. You're a winner. I'm a winner. You a winner. She a winner. They a winner. Rita, you forgot to bring that out here for people to see it. Come on. Rita. Rita is the artist of It Takes a Village. Isn't this beautiful? Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something about Rita. No matter what time of the day or night I call Rita, you know what she says? What her answer always is?
Yes.
She ain't never told me no yet. She might look at me sideways. She might get mad at me if I tell her we gotta stay real late, Rita, we gotta come real early. She ain't never told me no. None of these women have ever told me no. I am so proud of our women's ministry. And by the way, if you're just sitting there on the edge and saying, I don't want to be a part of that, go sign up. We got a sign-in sheet right outside on the table where all the hats and gloves. Just sign your name and you in it, okay? Isn't this beautiful? Thank you, Rita. We appreciate you. Rita don't like me to call her out like that. Okay. All right, let me continue where I was. So, we have to have sound minds. We have to keep ourselves together. We need to be strong, church family, mentally and physically and emotionally. And psychologically, we gotta stay balanced. We have got to get enough rest. We have got to say our prayers, Because we don't look right when we don't say our prayers. You can tell when we ain't praying. You can tell when we're not stopping to do that meditation. You can tell because you start talking sideways at people. And you start looking kind of crooked. You don't look like your real self when you're not taking care of your real self. Now, the prayer warriors are over there waiting for you every single Sunday. Just go on over there and let them pray for you. Somebody prayed for me the other day. The floodgates of heaven just came open. Like I was like, oh, Lord, what have I done? It's a beautiful thing, okay? Get your prayer on. I heard today, well, last night, actually, that Letticy, if you don't know Letticy, find out who Letticy is. She's going to be singing at the Super Bowl, y'all. All right, that girl can say she's gonna sing, lift every voice and sing, okay? And some of us, we joined together and sang that a couple of weeks ago. Thank you, Britt Hall, our musical director, and the Voices of Unity Choir. Did they sing it beautifully, y'all? They did a beautiful job. You know, when I think about that song and I think about James Weldon Johnson and his brother who wrote that song, this is the verse that gets me. Stony the road we trod, that's where we walking. Bitter the chastening rod. Felt, he used a very strong word there. Everybody say felt. Put your hand on your heart and say felt. Felt when the days when hope unborn had died. Hope. Being unborn, that means there was no hope. Isn't that sad to think about? But he goes on and tells us how we kept on trotting. So I just want to say, there have been so many times that our ancestors could have given up hope. They had plenty of reasons to throw in the towel, but they knew we were coming. They knew we were coming, so they stayed strong, minded, and focused just for us. There have been times with the women's ministry where it feels like we are the underground and the overground railroad out delivering gifts. I'm following Zoe's car, Lynn is following my car, Rita and Selena and I and all of us up in the Bronx wrapping gifts like late at night. We can keep our eyes open. What size is this? You can't keep up. And we get tired. But what about Harriet Tubman? She must have been tired. She must have been thoroughly exhausted. She walked on foot all the way to freedom from Maryland, all the way straight through up north. I mean, how did she learn how to be who she was? And mind you, she had narcolepsy because she had been hit in the head. She had epilepsy, but this woman, she was in her 20s, had been navigating. She was planning on making this move her whole life, y'all. She was planning on making this move her home. And one night, she must have had enough stuff in place to just walk towards freedom. She had enough sense in her head to know that as soon as she got to a swamp or a pond, that she had to get in it and get the scent up off of her so that the dogs would not catch her. Because all they did when you ran away as a slave is they put your clothes or your shoes or something that you were left behind up to the dog, and the dog would find you or come looking for you. But Harriet never got caught. How did she know the way to freedom? How did Frederick Douglass have the audacity to hope for more than being a meaningless slave? How did he teach himself to read and to write and to go on and to write 3 autobiographies and to be an outspoken public speaker? He eventually became advisor to President Lincoln. How did he come to be nominated for vice president? Way back then, Frederick Douglass. Well, how about Langston Hughes? Y'all know Langston Hughes, right? You've heard so many things about Langston Hughes. He was born in Joplin, Missouri in 1926. He was born in 1901, but in 1926 he wrote, "I Too Sing America." Here it is. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes. But I laugh, eat well, grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at the table when company comes. And nobody will dare say to me, "Eat in the kitchen there." Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too sing America. And then Langston Hughes went on to do another poem. She once wrote, "Today's mighty oak is yesterday's nut that held its ground. Today's mighty oak is yesterday's nut that held its ground. We have got to stay grounded and we have got to stay balanced." And how did a woman whose ancestry was from Barbados, whose name was Shirley Chisholm, born in Brooklyn, how did this tall, elegant woman defy gravity and be the first Black woman elected to the United States Congress? How did she have the audacity to run for president of these United States in 19... How did she do it? She said, that I'm gonna call deferred. I'm not gonna have them. Let's get rid of those bags. Let's get rid of those heavy loads. Let's do what we're doing. It's so much talent right here, right now. And how did James Baldwin, some people call him Jimmy. Ooh, the audacity to be himself. Black and gay and proud of it. Came from an overly religious, hallelujah, thank you Jesus on Sunday morning, Pentecostal family, but yet he had the nerve to be himself. Yes. He said, that we have to remind ourselves that we can disagree and still love each other. Unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. How did Alice Walker, who was from Eatonton, Georgia, have the courage to write The Color Purple and for it to become a Tony Award-winning musical on Broadway and end up on the big screen? How did she know how to dream so big and so bravely? She once wrote, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Starts here. Don't give away your power. Walk in your power. Stand in your power. Activate your power. You know what you came here to do. You know what your grandmama told you. You know what your grandfather told you. I don't care what the teacher said about you wasn't going to grow up and to be nobody. You know who you are, and it's not too late. And then Maya Angelou. And by the way, some of you know I had the opportunity to actually meet with her. She had a big Thanksgiving Day ceremony every year, and I always wanted to be invited, and finally I got the invitation, and it was like, oh my God, I got invited to, I'm going to see Maya Angelou. And some of my friends said, well, don't worry, Daddy, if you don't have enough money, maybe you can just go next year. And I was like, She was already in her mid-80s. What I look like waiting till next year? I got that money together, found me a little room down in North Carolina. It was a hotel room with a little oven right there. The grocery store was down the street. I found my way up to that place and met Maya Angelou again. And she looked so gorgeous. And she said, we must learn to love one another, white or black or rich or poor, gay or straight. She always maintained her dignity. And guess what? I went to her house. Amen. And she did give me a cool drink of water. You know that title of her book, Give Me a Cool Drink of Water Before I Die? I said, she gave me a cool drink of water. But I didn't know she was getting ready to die in a few months. So it's a good thing. I wish she gave me a cool drink of water from her refrigerator. Darling, would you like some water? I was like, yes, ma'am. I sure would. Thank you. I'm going to tell everybody I know you gave me a cool drink of water. It was the most beautiful moment. How did she give birth to dream after dream after dream? She was a cable car conductor in San Francisco. Okay, she just walked up there and got the job. Dancer, actor, poet, activist, director, ambassador. She reminds us of how to treat each other. She said, people might not remember what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. So even if somebody's speaking to you in another language and they're in the night, if it feels good, it's probably right, okay? But if it don't feel good, you know that they ain't saying nothing that you're supposed to feel good about. We can tell. You gonna pick up energy. You know how you walk into a room and everybody done been arguing and fussing and kicking it, and you walk in and quiet, and you say, ooh, I'll leave, no problem. Okay? We gotta stay focused like Maya Angelou did and keep up with her creativity. But let me get to James Weldon Johnson, his brother, Rosamund. Remember, they wrote Lift Every Voice and Sing Together, which we all know. But then there's another beautiful poem titled The Creation. And I want you to pay attention to how James Weldon Johnson reimagined God creating the universe, okay? And excuse me if it offends anybody, but I am going to use the feminine form of the essence of God this morning, okay? All right, let's go. Creation. Technical difficulties. looked around and said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. As far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. On one side, and the light stood shining on the other, and God said, that's good. Then God reached out and took the light in her hands, and she made the sun, and she set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shiny ball and flung it against the darkness, sprinkling the night with noon and stars. Then, down between the darkness and the light, God hurled the world. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, that's good. Then God stepped down, and the sun was on the right, and the moon was on the left, and the stars were clustered above God's head, and the earth was under God's feet. So then God stepped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and split out the seven seas. She batted her eyes and the lightning splashed. She clapped her hands and the thunders roared, and the waters above the earth. Waters came down, and the green grass sprouted, and the flowers blossomed, and the pine trees pointed its finger to the sky, and the rivers ran down to the sea, and God smiled again, and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around God's shoulder. Then God raised her arms and waved her hands over the sea and over the land, and God said, bring forth, 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 the fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, the rainbows and the forests and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. But then God walked around. God looked around. All that had been made, the sun, the moon, the stars, the world, with all its living things, and God said, oh, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where she could think, by a deep, wide river. God sat down, and God thought and thought, till God thought, I'll make me a man. From the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, kneeled down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay.
Thank you.
renewed life into ourselves. Let's breathe the creativity into our own hands. What will you do with your hands now? Let's get to work. Let's walk proudly. Expand your knowledge, knowing that you are not a victim of circumstances. You are, in this moment, victorious.
Amen.
Yes.
Walk in pride and stand in your glory.
Yes.
I say amen, and so it is. Your hands. Release all brain activity. Let it go for a minute. There's nothing to fix, nothing to go run and do. There is only light and love and community and joy. Joy. It is okay to smile. It is okay to be yourself. It is okay to expect your miracle. It is okay. It is okay. Everything is fine. high frequency early in the morning. And in the middle of the day, if you need to stop and adjust your frequency again, do it. Late at night, if you need to make an adjustment, do it. Quiet your heart and know